Matthew 26, while everybody's getting settled down, Matthew 26. It's getting close to what we call Easter, and with the time that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. I don't really call it Easter Sunday. I call it Resurrection Sunday. It's the day he got up. Easter Sunday was a Babylonian holiday celebrating the spring. But we celebrate the resurrection of the Savior. Now, I want you to get your mind on what I'm going to say for just a few minutes, and I'll guarantee if you do, you'll leave being glad you came to church. And if you're not saved, you'll understand more about it. As we lead up to Easter Sunday, we need to talk about what happened before Easter Sunday. And I'm going to show you a few things. Maybe you've never seen it this way before. And so let's look at Matthew 26, starting verse 45. I think everybody's pretty well calmed down now. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place. All that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And I'm not going to tell you to turn there, but in Luke chapter 22, verse 53, that same story, he says, the hour is at hand. The hour is at hand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask, if you will, Brother Rudy, pray for the sermon today. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, yes. 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 Amen. John 17:1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed with great sweat like blood. And he said, after it was all finished, he said, Father, but not my will, thy will be done. And just a few minutes later, he would be betrayed by what he thought, well, he knew what the others thought was a friend, by a kiss. In a few minutes, they would take him and they'd falsely accuse him, and they would falsely try him, and they would mock him, and they would beat him, and they would spit in his face, and they would lie on him, and they would beat him with a cat of nine tails until a regular man would have died. And then they would cruelly crucify him on a cross, and where he would finally cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But there at the end, when it was just about over, he would cry again. He'd say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. After he gets through praying there in the garden, he goes to his disciples. He said, all right, get up. It's time. The hour is at hand. The soldiers showed up, the Pharisees with them, the Jewish soldiers. And they arrested him, and he says, this is your hour. Not the hour that he was talking about himself, but he told them, he said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Well, there's a lot in that statement. The power of darkness meaning everything is wicked and evil and cruel and ungodly, Satan himself. And Satan had entered into Judas and went through every bit of this. And when the soldiers got there, Peter wanted to fight. He cut off a man's ear, and Jesus picked it up and stuck it back on and said, Peter, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. He said, this is the hour. The hour has come. The Son of Man must do this. And he said, this is their hour. It's not my hour right now. The mocking, the trial, the beating, the spit, the plucking out the beard, the crown of thorns, the 39 lashes, the cruel cross, the mocking him on the cross, giving him vinegar instead of water, that was their hour. That was their time. And he says, in the power of darkness. But you know something they didn't know? An hour only lasts a while. Yes. And it's over. An hour doesn't last but for a moment. It's only temporary. And they had their glory moments. You know, a lot of people have their glory moments, you know. Their 15 minutes of fame, we call it. They get their TV picture. They get their newspaper picture. They get somebody to quote them, you know, or they sing a song. And they get their moment. They get their hour, and everybody applauds them and praises them. Well, this was their hour. I guess it's probably, I could call it the most famous hour that mankind ever experienced. Their hour of infamy, not famous, but infamy. The hour that they showed how low mankind could go. Their hour that showed how wicked hearts really are. Their hour that showed that religious systems do not change a wicked heart. Their hour that religious ceremonies do not change a sinful, wicked heart. They took him to the temple. At the temple, a crooked priest talked to him. He interrogated him. And then he passes him on to another crooked priest. And he accused him and talked to him. And then they took him to another man named Pilate, who was a coward, representing the Roman system. And he was just going to please the people. So he passed him over to Herod. And Herod was no better. Herod was a Jew who wanted to be a Greek. And he didn't live any better than Pilate. He was wicked. And he talked to him and interrogated him and mocked him a little bit. And then he sent him back to Pilate. And then Pilate, still being a coward, took it before the people and said, I find no fault in him. I'll give you a choice. You want this crook, this thief, this murderer, or you want Jesus who says he's king of the Jews? And they all cried, give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. That was their hour. The words ring out. Every one of those occasions, the words ring out. This is your hour. With Ananias, the high priest, this is your hour, enjoy it, buddy. With Caiaphas, the fake priest, this is your hour, you enjoy what you're getting right now. With Pilate, you could hear it, Pilate thinking he's really the head of Israel, and he's not, and Jesus is, but he just can't see it. And while he's interrogating Jesus, his wife sends him word and says, don't you touch that man, I had a dream. And he washed his hands of him. And when he did that, I can hear God say, okay, old boy, that's your hour. This is your hour. And then they send him back to the Jews and they scream and they holler, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And I can hear it ringing out, this is your hour in the power of darkness. But Sunday's coming. Most of y'all don't know the Jewish calendar. America, we have the Roman calendar. Nobody bothers. Y'all don't. A lot of people don't know that. Most of the world doesn't even use our calendar. Only the so-called Christian nations. The Hindus don't use it. The Chinese don't use it. The Muslims don't use it. We use it in America. We assume everybody goes by ours. It's not. The Jews don't. The Jews' day starts at 6 o'clock sundown. It's that first of the day. Ours starts at midnight like the Romans did because they worshiped the elements. And then, look, it's from 6 to 6 to 6 to 6. So this was written. There's no such thing as Good Friday. That's a Catholic tradition set on a Roman calendar. You can't put somebody in the grave on Friday about dark and him get up Sunday morning and it be 3 days, 3 nights. This was Wednesday night, which was Thursday to them. And then all day Thursday, all night they tortured him, and all night they tried him, and all night, and all day the next day. But finally they did crucify him, and they did put him in the grave, and he got up. Listen, when they got there Sunday morning, he didn't come up with the sun. We don't worship the sun. That's why I don't have sunrise services. The grave was empty when the ladies got there at sunrise. Sometime, hey, that night before Sunday, he got up and walked out. Amen. But we call it Sunday. So we'll say, Sunday's coming. You're going to lose. Go ahead and spit on him. Go ahead and lie. Go ahead and beat him and go ahead and nail him to a cruel cross and mock him while he's there. But Sunday's coming. He's getting up. With every meeting, I could hear it. Every meeting, I could hear it. This is your hour. This is your hour in the power of darkness. This is your hour in the power of darkness. They don't know that Sunday came. They don't know that when they got there Sunday, he was the winner and they were the loser. He said, you destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. He said, as Jonah was in the heart of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. But he's getting up Sunday. He's going to be gone Sunday. You're not going to win. Matter of fact, what they did just all fulfilled what he said was going to happen anyway. But it's their hour in the power of darkness. It was Judas's hour. You know, I bet Judas felt real powerful then, don't you? All the priests were talking to him and all those crooked religious systems liked him because he'd sold out the Lord for a little money. He loved money more than he loved God. And he sold the Savior out. I bet you he thought he was somebody, didn't he? Man, all those soldiers were following him. They were listening to him for a moment. Well, go ahead, Judas. This is your hour. But I got news for you. In a couple of days, you're going to be laying at the bottom of a hill because you tried to hang yourself and the rope broke and your guts gushed out on the rocks below. But this is your hour. Go ahead and enjoy it, Judas, because it ain't going to last long. And then I think about old Caiaphas, that hypocrite high priest. He represented the religious system. He wore the garb, you know, and he sat on that throne, and he thought he was somebody. He felt real powerful judging this poor little old Jew who had never done nothing but heal people and preach peace and love. But he was ruining his system. He was stealing people that was giving him offerings, see? And he felt real powerful that night. Go ahead. In a couple of days, Jesus is going to turn the world upside down. And then that son-in-law of his, I bet he felt real powerful too. Same thing. But then they took him to Pilate. Now Pilate, he represented the Roman power, and the Roman power ruled the world. They were powerful. And he was the governor. He had been appointed governor over Israel to keep them under control. I imagine he did feel pretty powerful, don't you? But what he didn't know was the power that he had was the power of darkness. Right. What he didn't know, the power that he had was inspired by Satan himself and empowered by Satan himself. And he sits on that throne. Now he can be a judge of this poor little old Jew and try to find something wrong with him. But the more he asks, the more he figures it out. There ain't nothing wrong with this guy. All he could find wrong with him was, are you the king of the Jews, as they say? And Jesus looked at him and said, so say you. So he felt real powerful, didn't he? So, he sends him over to Herod. Old Herod was a hypocrite Jew. He was supposed to be the king of the Jews, but he got it illegally. He wasn't even supposed to be on the throne, and he got it. And let me tell you something. He wanted to be a Greek. He studied the Greek language. He studied the Greek religion. The word is Hellenized, like the Helen of Troy. And so he wanted to be educated, and he wanted to be somebody. He didn't just want to be a lowly Jew king. So he represented the worldly system. And Herod, I think it probably made him feel more important because they brought Jesus to him. They could have went ahead and crucified him. He didn't have any authority. Boy, he said. But you know what? The whole time I hear it, go ahead, Herod. Go ahead. This is your hour. Enjoy it while you got it, because it ain't going to last long. In a few days, he's going to be up moving around, and you're going to be defeated. How about those soldiers? You know, men, big, burly, strong men can be wicked. The Bible calls them churlish men, brutish men, because they got a little strength. They think they can rule the world. You give him a spear and a helmet and some brass shoes and brass plated shielding, and he thinks he can defeat anybody. Nasty, filthy, rough men. And so they turn Jesus over to them, and they mock him and spit on him and beat him and everything else. And boy, they really feel tough right now. And then you hear it ringing out, this is your hour. Go ahead, fellas. This is your hour. The one you beaten today, you'll stand before him one day, because he ain't going to stay dead. But when you really get right down to it, it was Satan's hour. Old Satan thought he had him. I mean, he thought he had. I can hear him now talking to the demons. We're going to kill him. He wouldn't let me do nothing to him on that pinnacle when I said, cast yourself down, you know. He wouldn't let me do nothing to him when I told him, turn stones into bread. We got him now. We're going to kill him, and we're going to disrupt the whole plan of God, and I'll win, and he'll lose. And guess what? The power of darkness. This is your hour, power of darkness. This is your hour, Satan. Satan was in control that night. He was. He was in control. 100%. Everything went his way that night. But you laugh at him now. You say, well, go ahead. Go ahead, Satan. This is your hour. Enjoy it while you got it, because one day you're going to be cast into the bottomless pit, because he's not going to stay dead. He's going to get up and walk out of the grave. And you ought to know that by now. You lived in heaven with him before you got cast out. But this is your hour in the power of darkness. You go ahead. You know, this is the world's hour we're living in. It is.
Fundamental Bible Christianity, I'm talking about Christianity that believes the Bible is the inspired Word of God, that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, rose from the dead the third day, and He's coming back in all His glory, and we believe in salvation by grace through faith in Him alone. And that kind of Christianity is on the bottom now. It ain't on the top, Brother Holroyd. Some of you came out of denominations that's been destroyed by liberalism and unbelief, and they still have church. And they still have religious leaders. And they still have religious garb. And they still read books, but they correct the Bible. Well, go ahead, worldly church. This is your hour. Have your good time. Bring in your entertainers. Rock it up. Wrap it down. Dance and sing and clap. Because I got news for you. Sunday's coming. He's coming back one day in all His glory. And then we'll see who's on top then. Amen? Yes, this is their hour, and the power of darkness is in control. Amen? Let's just be honest. We live in the greatest nation on planet Earth since the founding of Israel. And God's blessed us. Yes. But I got news for you. Christians ain't in charge right now in our government. Christians not in charge. Matter of fact, we can't even run for office anymore because we'll be booed and booted out and humiliated and persecuted. A born-again Christian cannot stand up and say, I'm a born-again child of God and I'm running for president. You can't do it anymore. You couldn't even get governor and say that. Probably wouldn't even get mayor around here and say that. Amen. Let's go ahead and admit it. It's their hour right now, and the power of darkness is in control. That's why they get, they pass laws to try to regulate what we believe and practice. Let them go ahead. They think they've defeated Christianity in our country. They're tearing down all the symbols of our founders who were Christians. Yes, they had flaws, and so do you, but they were Christians. Amen. And they're tearing them down, and they make fun of what we believe, and they mock our churches, and they try to regulate our churches and what we believe, and let them go ahead, this is their hour, and let them think they're in charge, because they're not. God's got a plan, and Sunday's coming one day, we're going to be back up and going again. Take heart. That was Wednesday, but Sunday came. Looked real bad that day. Looked bad 2 or 3 days. But Sunday came and the sun came up and it was all fixed. Amen? Listen, I want you to think about this. Revelation 21. Turn over there real quick. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Look here, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are past away. Cheer up, saints. Sunday's coming. Amen. It's just Wednesday. They're just accusing us right now. Maybe it's Thursday. Maybe they're just trying us falsely right now. Maybe it's Friday. They want to nail us to a cross. But I got news for you. Over in the morning sometime Saturday before the sun comes up, Jesus is coming again. Esther chapter 4 verse 14, God told Esther, said, who knoweth whether that thou art come for such a time as this? Yeah. Listen, saint, let me tell you something. Listen to me, especially you young saints. If you've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, accepting, turning from your sins and accepting Him. By the way, you can't live that way. You got to turn to Him. Let Him help you. And you turn to Him and He'll save you. Let me tell you something. You was born for this time. You was born for this hour. A lot of times you hear people say, well, I wish I could have lived during Paul's time. No, Paul was born for that hour. You were born for this hour. And God wants to use you just as much as He used Peter or Paul or John. And this is your hour. And you can make a difference because you know Sunday's coming. This is not the end. It's just leading up to a better end. This is your Sunday. I don't understand Christians. This is supposed to be your hour. And you live like defeated armies. You've got the most powerful leader in the universe. Amen. You've got the power of the Holy Ghost within you. Amen. If you just recognize who you are and what you already have today, then you can look forward to the next time it comes. Did you know if anybody's going to be saved in this hour, it's going to be your fault?
Yep.
Did you know if a Christian family's going to be raised in this hour, you're going to have to raise them?
Yep.
Did you know if your children learn the Bible, it's going to have to be your teaching them and your learning them and your leading them? Yep. Did you know that if your family dies and go to hell, you have this hour to save them before they do die and go to hell? Did you know that if your country gets destroyed from within, which it's doing more and more every day, it's your hour to save it through the gospel of Jesus Christ? This is your hour. What are you doing with your hour?
Yes.
Peter pulled out his sword and chopped a man's ear off. At least he did something. Amen. Now we know later on he denied the Lord. We know that. But at least he was following afar off. The rest of them weren't even following but one. At least he was trying to do something. And Christians sit around and they sing, Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. You're not in the same Bible I'm in.
Amen.
This is my hour to make a difference on this planet. This is my hour to lead people to Christ. This is my hour to make sure my family doesn't die and go to a devil's hell. This is my hour to keep my children, my grandchildren out of jail. This is my hour. You say, but I'm sick. Well, this is your hour to prove that the grace of God's good in sickness too. You say, well, I'm poor. Well, this is your hour to prove that the grace of God is good in poverty too. And by the way, Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. Who are you?
Right.
You say, well, I'm young. Well, this is your hour to prove that young people can still be Christians like little Samuel when the Lord called him at 10 or 11 years old. This is your hour. Now, I know it's the hour of power of darkness. I know that. I know the world's in control. And I want to look at Lady Gaga and say, well, you go ahead, you pervert. You have your fun while you can have it. Because this is your hour, but Sunday's coming and we'll see who knows the truth.
That's right.
Beyonce. He didn't say that, did he? Beyonce, this is your hour. Go ahead and strip. Go ahead and show yourself up there on that platform. You ain't nothing but a demonic-inspired singer anyway. Go ahead, have yourself a time because this is your hour, but Sunday's coming. We'll see who's going to be on top.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, you rapper. Shoot each other. Kill each other. Help yourself. This is your hour, but our hour's coming. I don't want Mr. Country Music Singer. Go ahead, drink your liquor. Drink your beer. Inspire children to do that in your stinking music. But I got news for you. Sunday's coming. Our hour is coming. Help yourself right now. You better enjoy it while you can because your hour is just about over. Preacher, I can't believe you said that. Go ahead, false religious teachers. Go ahead, Pope. Compare Christianity to Islam and say they're all right together. Go ahead. You help yourself with your false teaching. But I got news for you. Sunday's coming. Jesus fixes to straighten your mess out. Go ahead, lying denominational leader. Smoke your $10 cigar and drink your little wine behind your president's desk and vote for all the perversions to enter your churches and your denomination. And you've sold your soul for money, but this is your hour. Go ahead, help yourself. But Sunday's coming. We'll see who was telling the truth. Go ahead, compromising Christian. You don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Well, you can't be a Christian not offend somebody. Jesus offended people. The apostles offended people. But matter of fact, they killed all of them. John was the only one. And they tried to kill him and couldn't.
That's
They stoned him. They boiled him in oil. They tried to kill him and couldn't. And you know why? Because God wasn't through with him yet.
Amen.
Well, you go on, you compromising Christian. You compromise with those lost people. You compromise with this lost world. But I got news for you. You better enjoy it while you can, because Sunday's coming and judgment's coming with it. Go ahead, lying Baptist preacher. I said Baptist. Ain't there been nothing else. Somebody asked me one time, what would you be if you wasn't a Baptist? I said, I'd be ashamed. Go ahead, you lying Baptist preacher. You go ahead and mislead your people. You know better if you're reading the Bible. You know better than what you're saying, but you say it anyway because you don't want to lose your job. Well, I was preaching before they paid me, and I'll preach if they don't pay me. God called me to preach. He didn't call me to occupy a job. Go ahead, you compromising Baptist pastor. You marry two men. You marry two women. By the way, it ain't a marriage. It's just some little stupid ceremony you've made up. It ain't in the Bible. Come on. Y'all don't get mad at me now. Amen. But I got news for you. Sunday's coming. We'll see who's got real marriage certificate.
Yes.
Amen. The marriage of the Lamb is coming. Amen. And that ain't the same one you got. Amen. Go ahead. Go ahead, rocker. Go ahead, hip hopper. Go ahead, those of you who let your kids listen to all that trash and pollute their mind and their heart. Go ahead. But Sunday's coming. We're going to see if the old preacher was too old-fashioned. We're going to see who the dinosaur was. We're going to see who told the truth and who didn't. Sunday's coming. It looks real bad right now. But Sunday's coming. He's coming back in all His glory. Revelation chapter 20, and I'll finish. Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 12, if you will. I get so excited, I feel like a novice. That's a Bible word for beginner. Listen. I'm a long way from beginning. Revelation chapter 20, look at verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Did you see that? Small and great. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. That includes the Bible. The books are open. And the dead were judged. You can't judge, preacher. Oh, there's a judgment coming, buddy. To judge out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered it. He's going to raise them up out of hell. And which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And whosoever, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Now, hell itself's going to be raised up, and I think that's the lake of fire is the sun, is what I think. I could be wrong. But it's going to be, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, listen. Right now, if you're not saved, this is your hour.
Right.
Jesus told His disciples, He said, now don't get upset, this is my hour. Another place He said, don't get upset, my hour's not yet.
Right.
What He was saying was, I came for a purpose, and when it comes to that purpose, I've got to do that.
Amen.
Now listen, sinner, if you're not saved today, I don't care if you're a church member or get baptized till you wrinkle. If you're not saved today, you never turn from your sins and turn to Christ, ask Him to save you and receive Him as your Savior because of what He did on Calvary's cross and rose from the dead that third day, you're a lost sinner.
That's right.
You must be born again.
Amen.
Now, if you've never done that, this is your hour to get that fixed.
Right.
You see, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yeah.
Hey, He wants to give you time to receive His Son and be saved.
Amen.
You know, He could have sent you up to the Catholic Church up here and you could have drank a little wine, ate a little wafer, and went home and thought you was going to heaven. You still die and go to hell.
Yeah.
He could have sent you this woman preacher over here at the Methodist Church who yesterday married two homosexual people. And taught you a little story on the rainbow today, and you could have went home and died and went to hell. But He let you come hear the truth today. This is your hour.
Amen.
This is your hour.
Yes.
What are you going to do with it? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. That means right now, sinner, is your hour. Now, saint, this is your hour. What are you doing with it? You living selfishly? Do you ever share the gospel?
Well, preacher, I try to live good. Well, Muslims live good. Hindus live good.
There's some atheists that live good. Mormons live good.
Ain't none of them going to heaven. What are you doing with your hour? A lot of people's just throwing it away.
That looks bad sometimes. Look, you go to the hospital or maybe you've lost a loved one or something and things look bad right now. They really hurt. And they look bad. And I understand that. God understands that. He weeps.
But this is your hour to do something.
And listen to me now. It may look bad now, but Sunday's coming.
The trumpet is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we be ever be with the Lord. And he says, comfort one another with these words. Now that's the hour we live in. Now, Brother Rudy, trumpet might sound tonight. We may not get the opportunity to have Lord's Supper next Sunday night. So, Christian, what are you doing? I have to beg some Christians to come to church. I have to plead with them to go to Sunday school. And if I say anything about helping them raise their children in this hour, they get mad at me. This is your hour. Now, don't look to the White House to fix your hour. And don't look to a political party or religious leader or religious institution. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he intercedes for us. Why don't you live like a Christian in this hour? Why don't you talk like one? Why don't you act like one? And then sinner, why don't you get born again so you can see what a Christian really is?
Now, this is our hour. I'm glad I was born for this hour. Most of my preacher heroes are dead and gone. They were born in the 20s and the 30s, and they're gone to heaven.
I don't have preachers I can go to and talk to anymore. I don't have ones I can look up to anymore.
It's the dying breed. But I can look unto Jesus in this hour. And I can hold on to him. And you know what I'm looking for? Sunday. I don't mean Sunday. But I mean the day that the Son of God appears in the clouds once again in all his glory and all his honor. And hey, he's going to be waving that checkered flag. Winners. All winners. Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God.